Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. But today's guest is currently sat on the other side of the world in Australia as the sun goes down there, whilst I'm on my fourth coffee of the morning here in London, just having had breakfast. So no wine for me. I'm not an animal. But as you're about to hear, there is plenty to raise our proverbial glasses to. My guest started out as a child model and actor, and as a teenager, used her earnings to finance a demo that got her signed to Sony Records when she was 15. At 17, she came to fame as Nina in Neighbours, a standout musical student at Erinsborough High, and upon leaving the show, launched her debut solo album, which went to number one for 29 weeks in Australia, and saw her break the charts here in the UK too. Just as she was about to begin work on her follow-up album, at the age of 18, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and successfully underwent chemotherapy and radiation therapy. In remission, she got back to work and 9 number one singles and 4 number one albums in Australia, sellout tours and a 9-year run as a coach on Australia's The Voice followed. Then, in 2018, she was stopped in her tracks again when surgery to remove her salivary gland ran into complications, paralysing a nerve in her tongue, and she woke from the operation unable to speak. Now, all of this took place without anyone but those closest to her knowing, and she embarked on a year of exhausting daily speech therapy sessions alongside writing her 6th album, Bridge Over Troubled Dreams, all whilst learning to talk and sing again. As you're about to hear, thankfully, she is now in fine form. Boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to catch up on. So let's dial her up. It's Delta Goodrum. Good evening, Australia, and good morning from a fresh and spring-like London. How are you, Delta?
I'm so well. I'm all the more happy to be speaking to you.
I'm trying to work out the last time that you spent any considerable time here in the UK, and I'm going back a while here, aren't I? It's been a while.
It's been a hot minute. I have missed it. I have so many fond memories of being there. I love. you know, every time I've ever come over, I've loved it. I think the last time I was there was 2016. I got to come over and we had some great shows, or we did this little art gallery and everyone came in. It was like a vibe. It was great. So that was the last time I was there. So shout out to those people.
Well, I've been following you across the course of, I've lost count of how many lockdowns we've had here in London. I know you had one big, massive one, which seemed to successfully then get you out of it. So you're having something like a normalish life at the moment in Sydney. Would that be right?
Yeah. I think we're really grateful here at the moment that currently there's no locally transmitted cases at the moment. Obviously, it's always an unpredictable case, but we are thinking of you all being in lockdown so much. Everybody in different parts of the world going through such an individual journey, but collectively still experiencing something so together, it's just wild. We'd just come from the bushfires at the start of the year in Australia, and then we kind of had this, we'd just done this one last concert, this beautiful firefight concert coming together and being very patriotic, and who knew, you know, we'd have to come to that, bring that patriotism all together and carry it through.
I forget, yes, you had the bushfires and they were terrifying
to sit back
and watch it, but to live through that. And I spoke to a couple of friends in Sydney who, you know, you lived through the day just smelling those fires, even if you weren't close, just that cloud.
Yeah, you walked, I remember at Christmas time we had started to see little bits of ash were flying onto, we were outside at one of our friends' table and we were like, wow, this is like we're in another world. It was definitely the start of a new chapter again.
As we all entered into this pandemic, you had come out of your own, not very long through, your own extraordinary health crises.
Yeah, for sure. So in my journey, I had just gone through a huge reset. So I'd gone through this, what I call as going back to zero. You know, when you are, and I remember a few people that I've spoken to have had this experience where they go back to zero and where you just feel like, you know, you just, everything kind of melts away. It was basically, I'd had a, to get technical, I'd had a salivary gland. Dr. Goodrum over here. You know, you learn a lot about cranial nerves and all sorts when you spend a lot of time with doctors, you start to end to think that you've got the language down pat. You're like, oh yes, let me tell you about cranial nerve number 12. I went through, basically, I had an infection in my salivary gland and then basically led to having an operation. And then when I woke up, I basically knew something was a bit off and thought it would be routine. I was actually headed to the UK. Of all things, Kate, this was 2018. I had my flights booked and it was one of those moments in time where, again, it was a reset. And it was basically, I woke up, we'd sort of been there for a month, and then it was a long journey of step by step of being with the healing and trying to get it right. And then we said, okay, we'll take out the salivary gland. So then I basically, there'd been a lot of pressure, and I got a bit of nerve damage. And so then basically it means that luckily the nerve is not a cut, or that would be a totally different story. But that damage meant that I had to then learn how to speak again and how to be able to pronunciate. And so I went to rehab with speech therapy, which is not the other kind of rehab, but a very speech therapy, just going every single day, learning how to speak. And it was obviously as a singer, you start to know how deeply troubling it is at the time, but understanding that, of course, I understood this was a fight that I had to go through, and I had to learn how to, you know, this is, your health is your most important thing. And I spent all the time trying to speak and learning, and had a wonderful speech therapist, wonderful doctors, so I could be able to make the new record again. And I'm talking here today and I'm very grateful for that. And so many lessons learnt, but a very silent moment, a very still moment, a very quiet moment to listen and observe. And it's kind of where the start of the new record was. And that's where I shared my video about how I had come to making this new album and going back to basics of, you know, when you have to be the listener and observe and I guess listen to life and work out where the compass leads you to next.
You're probably doing yourself a disservice when you say that, you know, I had to learn to talk again. Yes, you had to learn to talk again, which as a 34-year-old woman who relies on words to create your music, you're a songwriter, and then the ability to speak and sing those words for your livelihood, everything stopped. And the video that you shared, so just so our listeners get some sort of time frame, this is 2018. Yeah. You didn't share that video until it, going into 2020, is that right?
2020.
So you'd had 2 years of, is it like a 2 year moment, or like an abyss in your life where everything stops? And you talk about this with Paralyzed, this the single. You know, the doctor, everything was cancelled. You said the doctor says you can't speak. And watch the video on Delta's Instagram to follow that story of that 18 months, 2 years, because she's really making it sound like she had a cold.
I get in a lot of trouble for not sharing in detail about when I go through these things. It's the very Australian approach of just like keeping it very modest. And you're like, oh, it's okay. Because I've always had the understanding that I know a lot of people go through a lot worse. I understand that so many people are going through so much. So I guess I'm a pretty strong female. I think I've lived many different chapters. And so when I look at it, I guess because I've processed it and I've tried to understand that moment. And I was thankful that I was at, you know, I would go to my mum's, and I was staying really far out of the sea, just kept a little bubble. And
you didn't tell anyone, did you, apart from your immediate family?
No, it was happening. Very private journey. And I was very thankful. You know, you're really so thankful for great friends and family in your life with that support. I was very lucky like that. And these are the things I cherish and understand that I have. But I definitely, yes, it wasn't your common cold. It was a complete paralysis, and it was a lot of hard work, a lot of determination. You know, just I always think every time something challenging comes up in my life, I think, oh, okay, well, let me have a new understanding of something maybe I didn't understand before. But I had a lot of discoveries.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, you must have felt like Superman without his cape, because everything you do relies on words and your ability to communicate. Please go and watch Delta's video. It's on her Instagram page, and follow that story, because I started watching that film, Delta, and my jaw was on the floor, because when you first come in and you start, I understand how limited your speech was, because it was incredibly, I mean, you really couldn't speak well. I was rooting for you. And then as you get to the end, I'm literally like air punching for you, going, go on. And you worked so hard. You worked so hard. I'm so impressed.
Thank you. Well, the reason why I shared it later on, and obviously because all of a sudden as I was watching the world and starting to, you know, from our windows, as we did, we watched the world, we're thinking about what everybody was going through. And I started to think, well, if ever there was a moment to remind people to keep going and to not give up, maybe this was something that somebody might watch and realize they've got to work hard to get it, but we can get through it. It was an interesting choice, because I didn't even know if I would share that story. It was one of those moments. I've lived my life in the public eye my entire life since I was a teenager. And that was just one of those moments. It was a really private path. But I'm thankful that when I released that video, the amount of people that came forward and shared with me, oh, I actually, you know, my mother-in-law had a stroke and she had to work hard at getting her speech back. And I just had this beautiful connection to people. I had no idea who would have gone through nerve damage. You're like, what do you mean? I was looking online continually trying to find anybody who might have been going through what I had. Obviously, I'm a proud cancer survivor, and it was a much easier access to find people having that conversation when I was younger. But in this moment, as a new battle and a different era of my life, I was I found it really hard. So I asked my dear speech therapist to do to bring a bit of the community together, and we had such a lovely conversation just about, you know, communication challenges and what it takes to overcome them, and how it can make you feel so there's a disconnect in trying to, and obviously my whole life with music is about connecting. It's always been about, you know, telling a truth and a story and sharing that truth and having that connection with somebody on a really real level. And it was very special to kind of come out the other side and then speak to everybody about their own journey. That was really, really beautiful.
I thought it was a remarkable story to share at a time when everybody needed to see that through adversity comes greatness. And I thought that you displayed that really beautifully, not just in the way that you allowed your story to be told, but the way that you set that to music.
I enjoy the creativity. I love producing my own records. I love going back to the start of it and just layering it and finding the inspiration from hearing somebody play their instrument like a master. And yeah, it's really, I love producing and being creative and bringing things to life. I'm much better at that than sometimes speaking. I find my words, I've got way too many different lanes that I want to share. And I go, okay, I want to go here, I want to go here. And that's happening tonight. I'm like, I've got so much to tell you, Kate. But then finding the one train sometimes is hard for me.
I loved it. I love watching somebody who can build like a wall of sound. I mean, even on the video that you shared when you talked about your paralysis, I see you in the studio and you're playing the drums and then you're stood with the backing singers and you're clapping them through the beats that you want to hit. I mean, you are all over it. And, you know, that's a remarkable sign of artistry. And I'm so pleased that you rediscovered your voice to enable you to carry on doing that.
Thank you. Thanks, Kate. That's incredibly kind of you. And I'm really appreciative of you to watch the video and to discover that part. And that's the beauty in being able to share right now, isn't it? We can share through these different forums to be able to say, well, actually, let's take a peek into the window behind where, you know, these things come together. And having that longevity in a career is so important to be able to make it yourself, to know what you're doing, to be able to have new understandings, like different chapters where I've gone, okay, well, let me have a new understanding of this part of the business, of this part of my work, of this part of my creativity. How can I expand that, challenge that, grow that, move forward with that? And that's really, really important to me.
You've done it. And you've opened the path up for other women, other female artists to come through and kind of walk that path as well, which is so important because I know that, you know, you look ahead at your path and you're walking Olivia Newton-John's back in Australia, Kylie's, you know, all of those incredible female artists that, especially, and I hope you take this with the compliment that it's wrapped in and intended. If you look like the back of a bus, you might have been taken a bit more seriously. The fact that you are all incredibly beautiful women in so many ways works against you when you're trying to land artistic integrity or to have some artistic input, especially 20 odd years ago when it was a man's world, our recording industry.
You know what, you just have to outlast. And that's really, over the course of time, I believe that, you know, you win people over time. It's not going to happen overnight. And I think I've always known that I always have more up my sleeve when it comes to that. I believe I was always in this for the long run. It doesn't mean I got it right all the time. I definitely made a lot of mistakes, but I got into this music industry because I love the arts. I love music. I love being able to empower the listener, empower the person. Like when you talk about other artists, you know, I have done the last 9 years on The Voice and getting to mentor these artists and be able to share. You know, it's like you live this first discovery with them again. You start to see them get their dreams coming true, and you want to bring their dreams to life. So yeah, I love bringing a dream to vision. I love visioning it. I love bringing it to life. But I really love sharing it with people. But I also love seeing it happen for other people too. And there's plenty of room for everyone's dreams to come true if you work hard at bringing them to life as well, you know?
You talk about this reset that you had. And it is like, it is a hard drive reset, what you've been through. And actually, most of the world is now slowly coming out of this really disorientating 12 months where everybody has had their own reset. And I wondered if you could share, because I think a lot of people get scared of resetting, but I think it's a really brilliant opportunity for the world to stand back and go on an individual level, as organizations, as companies, as countries, as, you know, whatever, however
for sure
you want to expand it out, why don't we reset? And what's the value in that? What did you learn from your scary reset?
I guess I think the world currently right now would be, it's also in a, you know, we're adapting to the change that's happened to us. I think there's like that moment. I mean, again, it depends. It's very different, I'm sure, for you over there, and it's very different to us here. But I do know the realization of the change has really happened and it's really real. And that finding, like when we went into lockdown here, learning how to, like when they would ask us, hey, it's Global Citizen, can you make a video from your living room? And all of a sudden I'm going, listen, I'm still pen and paper. I have not merged yet fully into my phone, but my phone and I, we're about to get real close with these videos for sending them out to the world. And I have
so
my,
this
my
was
camera.
Like Global Citizen was you were the only Australian artist to invited to take part. It was Lady Gaga's organization, right? She organized this global concert. And then you find yourself in your living room going, it's just me and my phone and I've got to make this happen.
You look at your phone and you just go, okay, all right. What can I stand it on around here? Like, what do I put it on? Lucky I've got a light now at least. So all of a sudden I found myself learning all these new skill sets.
That's scary, right? Because, you know, I remember watching that concert and it kind of, you know, I loved looking at everybody's homes. I'm not going to lie. It was like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, property porn.
But it was definitely the first video off the ranks, right? So Of all videos when you first do it, at least if I'd had like a couple of home videos that I'd done with music before, I might have been able to send to the entire world, but this is your first edited video. I was so thankful over the course of time. I did duets with, you know, Colin Hay, and we did Land Down Under. I started this online show called Bunker Down as a way to do performances for people who were at home, and so we just sung any requests. And all of a sudden, I started to have this new. Again, not something that I had before this moment at all, but all of a sudden I started to feel that connection between people and through technology, which I know I was a lot more in person. I loved being present with people in person. And now that's a beautiful thing. That connection to the entire world through our devices is getting to talk to you today. It's definitely, I think, coming from making the whole world become so much more connected, even in a way that part has definitely been something I know that came out of it.
100%. I think I remember watching that concert.
Efficiency.
Exactly. But then I remember John Legend's listening to him on a podcast afterwards, I think with Gregory Porter, saying, oh, that was a nightmare trying to set that recording up. And then there's Elton John performing on a piano with sort of some of his kids' inflatable pool
toys. Yeah.
But I kind of love the honesty of that and the fact Elton John's got a load of inflatables and landfill knocking around his house. Because that's what parents do.
I wrote a song on the album called Dear Elton, actually. I mean, he is the master. He is the, you know, he's such a special. He's like the, the loved UK. I think of the UK, I think of Elton John.
He is the Yoda of British music.
He's global. The Yoda, the guru.
He really is. Have you ever had the Elton John call where he just drops you a note just to say, I like what you're doing?
I have. When I first broke on the scene, Sir Elton did give me a call. He actually called me on my very first day of chemo and said and wished me well. And I actually, with this album, I wrote a book with it, and I share that story about how incredible that was and how kind that was and reaching out. And, you know, so he's a very special man, I think.
He's remarkable for doing that because he still consumes new music every week. You know, he's always downloading. He's always getting in touch with artists, especially artists that are in trouble. And I think actually he's, you know, there's something quite saintly sometimes about the way he manages to find the time to phone you on your first day of chemo. Good luck. I'm here. You know,
completely. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever called him back? Have you ever called him for any reason just to say, how are you? Or do you just get too scared that it's Elton?
I have. I mean, it's funny because I think of Olivia Newton-John as well as that person that's always, she's also, as an Aussie, been that mentor in my life who's always, you know, been sort of watches over you, and she's always got time for everybody and always. And those people, I mean, as a young artist, when I started, you know, they're really impressionable moments. And I always think of that when I speak to other artists, or I think about when people have just started, so cognizant of when an artist first starts, how important it is to let them know there's a community of artists as well. And it's like any field, I guess, like it's any job you could do the same. I'm sure you do it with young presenters coming in and going, all right, I got you. Let me tell you a couple of things.
Well, just leave the door open, you know? That's what I always think.
Yeah, exactly.
Just leave the door ajar so that they can come in behind and ask any questions.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
My next question to you, I wanted to put to you because you have had this, as you talked at the beginning of this podcast about these chapters, this incredible ride and journey through life. And I wondered if you could go back and revisit one period in your life and be able to really relish it and enjoy it, maybe in a way that you couldn't the first time around, kind of with the gift of hindsight. What moment in that in your life would that be, and why that moment?
I think hindsight's the sum of all the chapters. I not one particular chapter for me. I think I would definitely, I would love to really, have you seen the movie About Time?
No.
The About Time, it's a Richard Curtis movie. And he talks about living every single day again. You know, he talks about like sort of living it the first time and then living it a second time.
Yeah.
And I wrote this song called Play, and it's about, you know, it says you don't work the piano, you play the piano. And the idea that you were supposed to sing and dance while the music was being played. And I think I've always been playful, but I definitely look back and I think, you know, you could talk about your first discovery, sure. Like when you first break into something you love, I could go back in time to the obvious ones and say, yes, all right. I really do look at it as different moments. And I know I speak about it a lot when I say chapters, but it's because I think as being such a writer, I think about like different moments of my life or the different albums, the different eras.
I think there's those moments in life which were so seminal and so meaningful, but at times we're so busy that we're too busy being busy to enjoy the glory of those moments.
And I do remember moments where, you know, you really have that complete feeling where you go back. I can go back to some of my favorite moments of my life and feel like I jump in them. I always say it's like when you can jump into the moment, you can feel it, you can see it, you can relive it in your mind. But of course, like in those very early stages of my career, it was very, I think that I wouldn't relive them. I feel... Maybe I'd just go back to school and be easier, Kate. You know, go back and just enjoy. Hindsight is I'd go back to the basketball court at school.
Yeah, maybe school's a good one because by the age of 15, you had your first record deal. So your school experience wasn't complete, really, was it?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Erinsborough High. You know, that was where after I left school, I went to Erinsborough and had a great time there. And then the music started and on Neighbours.
Didn't you guys just go back and do a 30th anniversary show?
Maybe like 4 years ago, maybe, I think it was. I went and did an episode, just dropped in, you know. Nina was off writing a song, so I remember used to come to the UK and it would be the first thing anyone would say, Nina, sing us a song. We had a magical moment, Kylie and I, not long ago. We got to sing. I had had a beautiful Christmas concert that she was so kindly said yes to, a Christmas show, on Channel 9 over here. And we did When You Wish Upon a Star. And that was incredibly special to do. Oh. And Robbie, I'm still getting everybody from you. I'm like saying, hey, and Robbie Williams, he sung on it as well, which was incredibly wonderful. We did Santa Baby. Maybe I'd relive these. Maybe I'd go back to Christmas. hindsight, I can definitely tell you, Kate, there's definitely, I share a lot in this book about the album, you know, about things I definitely feel like I could have done better and being younger and making mistakes and make, as we said, lessons, choices that I definitely would look back and think, that seems so foreign to who I am and who I am today that it changes your courses, and it's really important the choices we make in our 20s as well, where it kind of leads us. So I think I'd go back, probably not at the very start. I'd probably go back in my mid-20s maybe, and I'd probably say, you know, you got to listen to your mom. That's what you know, that's at the end of the day. Don't tell my mom I said this to you, but because she will, I will never let it down. This is just for you guys. Do not pass this on.
There is, you know what? I kind of hear you because now I'm a mom myself and I'm watching my son make the same lessons, mistakes that I tripped into, and you just, I want to stop him, but otherwise, actually, at the same time, you kind of have to learn. You have to learn for yourself.
Yeah. I know it's a tricky one because it's, you know, when you, of course, like relationships get involved, all sorts of things come into play and new dynamics in family. And I'm sure it's so hard, you know. I think I go into this throughout my life, you know, that empathy with my parents, and you wonder, you can see how, I mean, I'm doing it with my cat, you know, I don't want him to make any of the same mistakes. He's lying down next to me here, Kate. But it's obviously, you know, I definitely, you know, you're always going to question your own, but it makes you who you are today. And as long as you're being authentic to who you are in the moment, and I'm proud of who I am today. So
even some of the painful stuff, the difficult stuff, actually, you kind of almost don't want to erase it from your past because it,
for sure,
it gave so much as well.
Oh, you know? My goodness. The hindsight, I mean, as you said, as you started this conversation on hindsight, I mean, yes, there is hindsight, but then, you know, throughout the course of time when I really dive into these lessons, I definitely think to myself, well, I just couldn't change that because it really does. I have so much more knowledge from, you know, making the mistakes and then understanding to have that conversation about things. It's really does make a big difference.
So my last question to you is based around some of your incredible achievements. And I wanted to kind of go all the way back to your first album, Innocent Eyes, which kind of made the history books in Australia for sure. Huge hit in huge territories around the world. But in Australia, it stayed at number one for 29 weeks. That's over 6 months. That's punchy. Yeah. But I wanted to know when else in your life you've had to defy expectations.
I think about that and I think there's defying expectations on a sort of on a numbers basis of what we can say of 29 weeks, or there's but I also think about defying expectations like kind of a bit more privately of when I reach a goal. Like I do when I do put a goal, like when I mentioned the Christmas special, the Christmas show has been something that I've wanted to do, I reckon, my whole life. I've always been a Christmas crazy. I love Christmas. I passionately enjoy the gift of giving and the idea of being able to surprise people. And after we'd had such a tough year, I wanted to be able to, you know, I think because I had equated a lot of the magical elements of belief and believing in anything being possible in this time in my life, and my parents made it so special growing up like that, that I definitely, I kind of had a correlation to believing in I could do anything with music too, to Christmas. So this Christmas situation, for years I've been like, I really want the Christmas show to come to life. This is one of my little babies. And last year I finally got people to say yes. I had asked enough times and I had said, look, you know, this is what I really want to happen. And then beautifully coming together with, you know, we had so many different performances. Like I said, Kylie and I got to duet. Robbie and I got to duet. We had the Pentatonix. We had so many wonderful.
Olivia Newton-John, wasn't she?
Olivia Newton-John, of course. But that might not seem like something outside that somebody would say defy the odds. But it was one of those moments where, you know, I had a dream to bring this to life. And that was kind of defying, well, they won't get it over the line for all the other sides of business behind the scenes trying to make it happen. And, you know, when you bring it to life, you know, and you work hard at bringing it to life, and from every tiny little aspect, producing it, I obviously started my production company, Atled Productions. And for our team we worked so hard at just bringing it to life. And that little moment in time was something that I go, I'm really proud of that. That was kind of defying expectations. Or,
you know, sometimes it might be getting through your to-do list, but like I really do have my own expectations on my own life. I've always been somebody who's been very a solo runner in that respect. I've always kind of never really been somebody who follows trends I just like to sort of, I've always had my own little vision of how I see things, and doesn't mean it's right, but at the same time,
that's what makes you an artist, surely.
And that's, you know, having that consistency. And I think defying expectations of being here 20 years later, I was 15, you know, when I started, and I've still been thankfully, you know, being a part of music and getting to do what I love to do 20 years later, still at the top of my game. And that could be defy someone's expectations. It's public perception versus your own expectation on your own self and your own belief system of what you think, and the little wins along the way are what make it, you know, really worth it too.
I think as well, there's a kind of an expectation in our industry for everybody to be over in the blink of an eye. So to be here 20 years later, still doing the same job. And that for me now is my measure of success. It's like, I'm still doing it. So therefore that is success.
And that's exactly right. And yes, when we first start, there is that lightning in a bottle element. There is that first. And that is when I was saying about The Voice, like getting to see the artists have their first discovery. I really enjoyed that process. Like I loved the mentoring. I was like, I loved seeing them see that for the first time and see behind the curtain, because it's kind of like you live it again by seeing that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to be proud in that I own my own space. In the moments I've had to fight for my roles, my space, but in the moments that I've just been true to who I am and just led with my heart at all times. I'm definitely a heart leader, unfortunately.
Is that not passion by a different
definitely
name?
Passionate. I'm definitely passionate, definitely, but being creative. But I do say, I think that the consistency and being able to be here for 20 years and still from having the different variety too, I think that's been important for me is, you know, doing theatre, doing TV, doing movies, or doing, you know, when we played Olivia the Biopic, or then bringing to life an arena show. All these different aspects of creativity are kind of what drive me. But at the end of the day, also like reaching out and touching someone's lives, inspiring their hearts. I started my foundation last year.
Yes.
And we teamed up with the hospital, and that's the first port of call. But these are the parts that I want as my legacy. It's very, very important that part of me that, yes, with the challenges means that it's a responsibility to make sure that you do good for other people in this world, and that's important. When I got into the public eye young, I still always believed that, yeah, you are a role model. It doesn't mean that I've always gotten it right, but it does mean I've understood that there is a responsibility with that.
Yeah.
And I do want to touch people's lives through song or in some way or another. That was my drive from the day I started.
Well, the foundation is something that's incredibly close to your heart, I know. And one of the first organisations to benefit was the hospital that treated you not just once through your cancer treatments all those years ago. Do you feel very emotional when you go back to the hospital? Because it has been the scene of so much personal challenge for you.
My journey with cancer has been quite present in the sense of still speaking to people about it so consistently. So, you know, you get a message, you speak to a couple of people a week who are going through currently in the journey and they're in the fight. So somebody asked me the other day if it felt like yesterday or ages ago, and I said, well, it does feel like another lifetime ago, but it's still some of the moments that I experienced in that moment are still so present because, you know, I speak to people who connect every single week on going through the fight, and that part has been a gift, obviously. So I don't get emotional as much anymore because there's still that but occasionally I might, you know, see something and maybe a happy tear of being grateful because I'm here in full flight of health. And yeah, I still got to keep working, making sure that my placement of voice is always strong. But at the same time, I just want to be the strength more than anything else and be a listening ears to being there for people and paying back anything I can to those wonderful doctors who helped me.
It's quite remarkable listening to you talk, knowing that 3 years ago you couldn't, and to watch you. Honestly, it is remarkable, Delta. Did you ever think that you would? I mean, first of all, is your speech back to where it was? Is your singing back to where it was? And what do you think that you've taken from that as an experience? I mean, it was hell on a hot stick, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that it's different ever since, for sure.
Really?
In the sense that I think if you get technical as a singer, like I do love the technique and the, but I think that it's like going through any reset. I don't think things can be the same. You can't go back to where you were before a big challenge like that in your life. I think anyone who goes through, I heard this one saying, this change is a good change, like all changes are. And I try to kind of think every time some sort of big change happens, like, okay, this is a good change. Change is always important. Adapting to it quickly. I think I adapt quick with that. But no, I definitely have to, I think I just have to continue to always work at it so I can be the best singer that I can be, the best communicator through my heart and soul. But of course, there's always work to do.
So is it something that you still have to keep? Do you have to keep up with the rehab? Do you have to keep working those muscles
those
nerves?
For sure.
Really?
For sure. Well, in the sense that, yes, like you have to just, because it changes slightly, you know, it changes slightly placement. But, you know, I feel like I've been in full flight with my voice, singing away. We had, you know, like I said, we had the Christmas album. Now we have the new album coming out. And
yes,
we have the big tour at the end of the year.
Are you playing in the UK, right? Are you coming to the UK to play?
I'm coming to the UK the second that it's all open and we can get over there. I promise. And hopefully, even if I have to wear a big hazmat suit, I will give you the biggest hug and get to see you in person. Although I am very jealous of everyone's, right, when I see the rhinestones on their face masks, I do think to myself, where did they get these? Did someone buy a glue gun and sparkles? Yeah. Because I think that's what's going to have to resort to around here.
It is. I think a lot of people got crafting in lockdown.
Yeah. I told you I went from the scrapbooks and the paper to technology. So I've clearly gone the wrong way around, I think.
the Bunker Down shows were great. All of these are up on your your Instagram page still, aren't they? All of the performances.
Yes.
You and your boyfriend.
Yes, that's right. And it was pretty funny because we genuinely, like, the first Bunker Down show, like, again, I'd never done a live stream or, you know, I'd always been busy and we'd always been working and I was always on to the next project, but I was never the one, you know, filming it or I'd, you know, go to the studios or we'd do something. I wasn't behind the camera. But the very first one, we set up all these tea lights and we got all these, I found some fairy lights in the cupboard and all of a sudden we found a stand to put it on and, you know, you press live, basically, it's just blurry. You can barely see anything. It's like the sound, and we've really gone for it. We've sung the songs people have asked for. I'm at this point, I was writing kind of chords on a page for requested songs, and we look back, we think we've done it. You look back, and it's just this blurry, bad sound, and we're like, right. Next week we'll get better. So then the next week you go back and you realize, okay, maybe you have to go on this setting for the Wi-Fi here to make sure that it actually, and you learnt along the way. And I definitely, every single week, I learnt with people, which was hilarious.
But also it's like a little time capsule for all of us. You know, what did we do in lockdown? In years to come, we'll look back and you'll have those performances. You'll have those blurry fairy lights in the background.
We just were like, well, what can we do? Of course, through music. So it felt really lovely. It felt lovely to speak to everybody once a week. It was like having a schedule on Thursday nights. We sat there and we talked to everybody and it was like we were in a concert every Thursday night, and that consistency was really key to having so many people join us and it becoming, you know, such a really special part of being at home. I looked forward to it. I felt like it was a really important part of my lockdown period because, you know, if I didn't know where the world was going or what was happening, I knew on Thursday night I was having a song with everybody and we would have a laugh and have a sing, even if I played the wrong chords for every second song and forgot every second lyric.
I'm so grateful that I've got these shows to remember this time by, and you've got those performances.
For sure. Yeah. How wonderful. Well, I'm very grateful that you would have me on your show, Kate.
I love
very,
having
very
you
kind
on.
Of you.
And thank you so, so much for dialing in and staying up late. And it's please, when you do come to the UK, I really want to come and see you do your thing. But thank you so much, Delta.
I would love
and
that.
Continued success, but more importantly, continued good health.
Likewise, Kate. Stay safe. Look after yourself. We're sending the biggest love. Mwah.
That's it for this week. As always, White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Richard Hatherall for Yahoo UK. Producing and editing is by Callum Goddard-Mocklow. And our beats and music are provided by Andy Bell. His back catalogue is available on iTunes and Spotify. We'll be back next week with more great guests. Until then, take care and try to do as we do. If we're having a drink, we try to do it responsibly. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.